Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be here with you again on another Tuesday episode. I know it was almost a week ago, but I just wanted to say I hope you had a fabulous Halloween, however you may have celebrated it. If you went trick-or-treating, if you took trick-or-treaters, if you greeted trick-or-treaters, whatever you were up to, I hope it was fabulous. I love seeing all the pictures on social media and of people's kids and of people's costumes, and I just think it's a lot of fun. And I try to avoid eating my weight in candy because, you know, you reach a certain point in life where eating your weight in candy just isn't good for you anymore. It's probably every point in life, but it gets worse as you get older, so... enough about my eating my weight in candy. I am happy, as I said, to be with you on this Tuesday for another author interview. Today I am interviewing Brett Fleischman, who writes poetry collections for children, which I love. When I was younger, I loved Shel Silverstein. I loved A Light in the Attic. I loved Where the Sidewalk Ends. I loved his collections of poetry, and I loved how they ran the gamut from hilarious to actually serious. And he touched on some topics that I remember reading some of the poems and thinking, wow, you know, I think that sometimes, and somebody actually wrote a poem about that. And it got me interested in poetry. Before Shel Silverstein, though, my parents gave me a collection of poems, and oh, I cannot remember the title of it. It was beautifully illustrated, though, and I loved that, and that also got me interested in poetry. And I even, as an adult, write some poetry that is very, very silly, kind of along the lines of Shel Silverstein or maybe even Dr. Seuss, and my nieces have poems about them, which I'm sure that they are horrified by. So I love that Brett writes collections of poetry for children. He writes, we're going to be talking today in the interview about volume 2 of 3 separate collections. He has written a volume 1 and now volume 2 for 3 different age groups. So ages kindergarten through second grade, third through fifth, and fifth through seventh. And each level has different He puts different ideas and different types of poetry into each level. So I love that he is getting kids interested, that these collections have the potential to get kids interested in poetry. I think that is something that maybe children do encounter, maybe they don't. But I love that there's someone out there who is putting the effort in to write kind of in the lines of Shel Silverstein. He reminds me a lot of Shel Silverstein, just with the humor of the poetry and some of the cadence of his poetry. It is, the poems are funny. There are some, again, that have a deeper meaning to them than just being entertaining, so I appreciate that. And now let's go ahead and get to that interview so that you can hear in Brett's own words. But quickly, before we get to that interview, I apologize. I forgot to read you. I'll read you just the beginning, or the blurb on the back of the first book, which is Toilet Trouble, and it is poems for beginner readers, readers K through 2. I do that in the interview too. Poems for beginner readers K through second grade. So beginner readers, or readers who still like having poems or stories read to them. And the description of this book is that it is a collection of 20 humorous poems designed for beginner readers. Volume 2 of this series includes a reunion of the Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs, a surprise birthday present for a baby crocodile, and inviting an uninviting hole in an ice skating rink, and much, much more. So let's go ahead and turn now to that interview with Brett Fleischman. Hi, Brett. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. We are here to talk about your poetry collections for children. But before we do that, I would love for my listeners to get to know you a little bit. So if you could just share something about yourself.
Sure. So I am 45 years old, and I live just outside of Boston. I work in the financial services industry full-time, and I started writing poetry about 4 years ago, and I also love to play competitive tennis year-round.
All right, thank you for that. So you write poetry for children. You currently have two volumes for each age group that you write for, and those age groups are for beginner readers, grades K through two, for intermediate readers, and that's grades 3 through 5, and then for advanced readers, which are grades 5 through 7. You have these three different age groups. Let's start with the younger one, and the second volume is called Toilet Trouble. So talk a little bit about this collection of poems.
Sure. So for each collection of poems, what I'm really focusing on is trying to put together poems that are appropriate for a specific age group, a specific reading level. So my beginner books, the first volume is called If the Earth is Round. The next volume is called Toilet Trouble. These are poems that have typically about 40 words. The vocabulary is intentionally quite simple, and they're really geared towards children who are either just learning how to read independently or are not yet reading but enjoy reading with their parents or, you know, other loving adults.
Okay, thank you. When you start a collection, do you ever have a specific theme in mind, or is it just each poem as it comes?
Yeah, it really is more each poem as it comes, and I should probably provide just a little bit of background. A few years ago, I started writing poems, and I ended up writing a lot of poems, and over the course of a couple of years, I put together so many of them that I started to organize them by what I thought would be good reading levels, and so when I putting a book together now, it's really more going through some of the work that I've put together, doing a lot of editing, and then selecting ones that I think are particularly good for a specific age group. So there is no, I wouldn't say there's a theme in terms of all the poems are about animals or all the poems are about a specific topic. It's really just intended to be poems that I think would be very appealing to the specific age group.
Okay. And where do your ideas for the poems come from?
They come from everywhere. The I guess overall, what I'm really trying to do is think like a kid. And that, unfortunately, that's very easy for me. I wouldn't say I'm the most mature person on the planet, so my ability to relate to a 7-year-old and what they're thinking comes incredibly naturally. So what I'm really doing when I'm putting together any poem is really starting off by thinking, one, you know, what would be a topic that I think kids would find appealing? And then secondly, you know, what kind of spin can I do with that topic to make it interesting for them? So as an example, Toilet Trouble is the name of the second volume for the beginner books. And while the book is called Toilet Trouble, that's one of 20 poems in the actual book. But in this particular poem and on the cover of the book, you'll see a child, and all you can see is the feet sticking out, and it looks like the child is lodged inside of the toilet. And essentially it's a poem where a young boy has a sister. She keeps telling him after he goes to the bathroom that he should put the seat down. He keeps saying, "No, why should I do that? I know you're going to do it." And at one point, his sister gets annoyed and decides not to do it. And so, of course, when he goes to sit down, he falls into the toilet. So, you know, I just went to a school in Boston. I took out this book. I was reading it to first graders. And, you know, I guess this is a good example of liking potty humor, because as soon as they saw this one, they said, "Read this book. Read this poem. Read this poem."
Yes.
And so that's the general theme. Come up with something that I think would be funny for kids and try to put a spin on it that I think would be particularly appealing for them.
Right. Well, as a female, I think all women would relate to this particular poem about putting the seat down. No one wants to fall in.
Yes. I know my sister would relate to that.
Yes. Do you have children?
I do. I have two boys, and they are currently almost 15 and 12. And when I started to write poems 4 years ago, they were the perfect audience, because at the time they were 8 and 10. And that's really the sweet spot, certainly for the intermediate books. And I would say that if I looked at all of my poems in aggregate, maybe 70% of them are geared towards that sort of, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old age group. So it was a lot of fun, not only writing the poems, but getting instant and very honest feedback from what should be a pretty accurate reflection of my target audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very, very honest at that age. That, you know, very not a lot of tact.
So it's one of my favorite things about one of the things I really appreciate about children is how honest they are.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to get sort of a polite response. If they think it's funny, they're going to laugh. If they don't think it's funny, they're going to stare at you like it makes no sense.
Exactly.
And so that to me is actually incredibly endearing, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of Toilet Trouble, there is a 10-book poem. This is part two. So will there be 10 volumes of poetry for this age group?
Yes, that is definitely the intent. I have, I think, around 7 books worth of content right now. So I will need to definitely do some additional writing, and I will feel quite compelled to finish the entire poem. But I thought it would be fun to have a poem that goes from book to book to book. I'm sure with the internet now, it won't be very hard for people to cobble it together, even if they don't have all of the books. At the same time, I just thought it was just a little bit of a different spin on putting together a poem.
Yeah, okay. So moving on now to Take a Hike, which is for that's your middle group, the third through fifth graders. Talk a little bit about this collection.
So Take a Hike is intended for intermediate readers, and again, sort of older elementary school. And, you know, I really enjoy writing for this age group because there's a lot more that I can do with my poems. And one of the things that I really enjoy about writing poetry is it's not even about the poetry. It's as much about challenging kids and trying to do things that are hopefully humorous, but also intelligent or challenging for the actual reader. And so in the intermediate book, what I like to do in that regard, there are two things. One, I enjoy including these zany word blenders as part of the collection. So these are word puzzles, essentially. They're limericks. And within each line of the limerick, they have a hidden word that they have to find. And it's something that I enjoyed doing a lot growing up. I loved doing cryptograms and word jumbles and crossword puzzles. Even today, I still like Boggle and Scrabble and you know, other games like that. What was really fun about these jumbles is it was clearly intended for children, but they're hard.
They're
really difficult. And yeah, I was at Logan Airport. That's the airport in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going on a business trip, and I was sitting there, and my flight was delayed, and there was a young girl sitting next to me with her parents, and I had my a PDF of one of the books on my laptop, and so I said to her, you know, would you have any interest in reading a poem or you know, solving a puzzle? And she said, sure. And so the long story short is, she was solving this puzzle, one of these zany word blenders, and then she couldn't figure it out, so her mom started to help her, and then her mom also couldn't figure it out, and then suddenly it was the girl, her mom, her dad, and then when her older sister came over, they were all trying to solve these zany word blenders together, which was really, really fun and amusing to see that it was in, you know, something that both children and adults would find enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And I am going to jump in here so we can take our first break of the podcast. But how cool is it that not only are there poems in these collections, but also zany word blenders and learning about puns and idioms and all kinds of great things. So we are going to take that first break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about the second book for middle grade readers and then moving on to the book for advanced readers. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I'm speaking today with Brett Fleischman about his collection of poems for children. We were talking before the break about the zany word blenders, which appear in both the intermediate volumes and the volumes for advanced readers. Since we are at a break, I thought I would also tell you or give you the description of the second volume of intermediate poetry. This book is called Take a Hike, and it is a collection of 30 humorous poems designed for intermediate readers, grades 3 through 5. Volume 2 of this series includes a store that sells human body parts, a girl who controls the moon with her nose, a whitewater rafting trip with an unexpected ending, and much, much more. So let's go ahead and get back to that interview with Brett Fleischman, and we are talking about those zany word blenders. Now, I'm looking at the first one in this book, and it's zany word blender number one, and in parentheses it says tennis. Now, the poem itself is not about tennis, but tennis gives you the clue for the words that you're looking for. So, for instance, on the third line, I was trying to figure out what word it was, and it could have been dad, but of course that has nothing to do with tennis, so it's helpful. And for me, at least, I'll say thank you for giving the clues.
Yeah, and in the back of the book, I have an answer key for each of the three zany word blenders. So you're absolutely right. It's not that particular one is not about tennis, but in each of the five lines, there's an answer that is specifically about tennis.
Right. So that has to be a lot of fun, maybe a bit of a challenge to come up with those.
Yeah, I would say of all the poems that I've written, those are without question the hardest, because you're not only, you know, as the writer of the poem, you know, not only am I trying to make sure that it fits into the rhyme scheme of a limerick, but I'm also trying to write words that I know can take the ends of one part of a word, the beginning of the next part of a word, and forming a new word, and all of those are within the same theme. So it's a challenge, but it's fun to create.
Yeah. And you also, you say in the beginning of the book that you use a lot of wordplay, that you enjoy puns and idioms. I might even say there are some dad jokes in the puns. And I like that you say it in the intro, and then you say, if it's something that you're not sure about or you don't understand, there's an appendix. So talk a little bit about your decision to use wordplay, and you don't dumb it down. You put the wordplay out there, and then but in the back there's an explanation. Should kids need a little more explanation for the wordplay that they might not understand?
Yeah, so for, I guess, just the genesis of this, when I think back to one of my favorite books growing up, I'd say one of my favorite books of all time was a book called The Phantom Tollbooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a children's fantasy novel. The author's name was Norton Juster. And without going through the whole book, it's essentially about a young boy. His name's Milo, and he gets this magic toll booth and ends up driving his toy car through it. And then suddenly he ends up himself in this foreign land where he's traveling by car. He's got his dog, Tok, I think is the name of the dog, and he's trying to save these princesses who are taken captive. So that's the genesis of this. That's the story itself. The reason why that story was so inspirational to me is because throughout that book, Juster consistently weaved in these word plays. He would take idioms and puns and then use them in, you know, multiple ways throughout the book. And I just found it fascinating. It was so smartly done, just really, really intelligent humor. And I've always been attracted to that sort of very quick or, I guess multiplicity in terms of words and how they can be used. So in the books that I've created for the intermediate and advanced readers, there are always lots of puns and idioms. And so I start off, as you mentioned, just saying, this is what's in the book. So if you see a P at the end of a poem, you know it has a pun in it. If you see an I, you know, it has an idiom in it. And, you know, some of those are going to be too difficult for the younger readers to understand. Some of them, they will understand. For those who don't understand, I want to make sure that they can understand it and don't read the poem and sort of get it, but not quite get it. So in the back of the book, I have an appendix section. And at the beginning of the appendix section, I review, you know, what is a pun? What is a homonym? What is an idiom? And I try to do it in a way that is the least painful possible. It's a lesson, but hopefully it's, you know, a reasonably short and hopefully funny lesson. Once I explain those, I then go through each of the poems that have puns in them, and then each of the poems that have idioms in them, and I describe for each one what was meant. And I think that my goal is for this to become a self-contained lesson plan, but a fun lesson plan. And it's one of the reasons why, as I think about sort of the audience and sort of my target audience, I think educators, school systems, English classes would be one that would certainly find it appealing and appropriate for the curriculum.
The other thing that I liked about this book is that also at the end, after the appendix, you have a list of poetry contest winners. So talk a little bit about those poetry contests.
So I've been fortunate to go to a number of different elementary schools. And when I've gone to these schools, I typically have done these large group presentations. I have three of them. They're geared towards different age groups. So there's a lesson about rhyming, which is for kindergartners and first graders. There's one about puns, which is more for sort of second and third grade, and then idioms, which is for fourth and fifth grade. And after doing these very large presentations, I'm lucky to be able to reach a large audience all at once. And so at the end of the presentations, after explaining to them, you know, what puns are, how they're used in my poems, I've offered to have a poetry contest where everyone who participates in the poetry contest will be eligible to have their poem published. And so what I've done for a handful of students in a few different districts is select winning poems and then essentially take the poems of the authors and ask my illustrator to create illustrations for their specific poems. And I just think it's a really cool thing, you know, to have someone who's, you know, 8 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, be able to say to their friends and family, hey, did you know I'm a published author? That's something that seems to be very inspirational for them when I mention it in the presentation.
That's awesome. And do you choose the winners, or how does that work?
Yes, I have chosen the winners. There have been times where I've narrowed it down and then asked others for advice, including some of the teachers from the schools. But I like being able to review them on my own, I guess, because there's clearly no bias. I don't know any of the students, and I'm afraid if the teachers are too involved, they could perhaps have certain preferences. So from my perspective, having a clean slate and just reviewing all of them, it takes a little bit more time. I've also had my my sons help me in selecting the winners. So it's me, but it's really me and my two boys as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then finally, we have the advanced readers, 5th through 7th grades, and this one is called Bedtime Story. So talk a little bit about this one.
Sure. So Bedtime Story and my advanced books are in many ways, in terms of just pure content, similar to the intermediate books. So like the intermediate book, Bedtime Story has those zany word wonders. And like the intermediate book, Bedtime Story has lots of puns and idioms with the appendix section set up in a very similar way. The differences between the advanced book and the intermediate book are, I guess, there are a couple of differences. One is I use a completely different illustrator. For the beginner and intermediate books, I use one illustrator. He's fantastic. His illustrations are, I would say, more cartoony is how I would describe it. And they're absolutely fantastic. I feel like as a book is designed for older children, so 5th grade, 6th grade, you're talking about, you know, the end of elementary school, even the beginning of middle school, those cartoon illustrations are sometimes extremely appealing still, and at other times they might be considered, you know, almost too babyish. You know, mm-hmm. that's what my younger brother would look at. I'd rather look at something, you know, older.
Right.
And so I have a different illustrator for the advanced book. He's outstanding as well. Just a very different type of illustration. He does these sort of messy watercolors. I describe it as art that you could frame and put in your home. In fact, I've put a lot of his illustrations on canvas in my home because I like the artistic look of the illustrations. The other difference between the intermediate and the advanced is in an intermediate book, the typical poem is, you know, 80 to 100 words. In the advanced book, it's typically more than 200 words. And then the level of difficulty of the vocabulary is notably more challenging in some of the advanced poems as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And there is another poetry contest at the end of this one, just with one poem, though. So is there a difference in the advanced readers, the poetry contests for the advanced readers?
I would just say it was more a function of the schools that I went to than anything else. So most of my school visits so far have been to elementary schools. That particular winter was a school visit that I did to a middle school. And so I was intentionally targeting an older audience, and that's why only one was selected for that particular one.
Let's go ahead and take this opportunity to take our second break of the podcast. And when we come back, we'll be concluding the interview with Brett. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and we're about to get to the conclusion of my interview with Brett Fleischman about his collection of children's poetry. I do want to give you the description of the third and final book that we talked about today, and that is the one designated for advanced readers in grades 5 through 7. It's called Bedtime Story, and it is a collection of 25 humorous poems designed for advanced readers. Volume 2 of this series includes a poorly planned treasure hunt, a rather chaotic manure machine, a very competitive laundry shooting game, and much, much more. So let's get back to that interview, the conclusion of that interview with Brett Fleischman. So, Volume 3 is next. Are you working on that currently?
So the answer is no.
Okay.
So I published the first three books, I guess, between, you know, August and September of 2017. And then these next three books are being officially released this week, this upcoming week. So, you know, six books in a little bit more than a year has been a lot of fun and rewarding to do, but it's also been incredibly exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for next year, I'm planning to publish one book, and it's going to be a bit different. So in every one of my books so far, it's been a collection of poems. It's ranged from about 20 for the beginner level to, you know, 30 or a little bit more than 30 for the other books. I have a few poems that I've written that are much longer. They're, you know, 1,500 words or 1,800 words. And one of them that I wrote and have had mostly illustrated is one called Chasing Santa Claus. And so that is one that I am hoping to publish at some point in 2019. As a standalone poem that has illustrations that accompany each of the verses.
It sounds like there is a lot of work. I mean, just, you know, writing a novel is kind of one cohesive story. This is, in some ways, you know, they're smaller, but you have to come up with a lot more ideas for each book.
Yeah, I absolutely love writing the poems. I love spending time with the children that breed them, going to schools, but the actual publishing of the books and the amount of work that goes into it is, it's a lot. And I work full time in another job, and it's for those who are dedicated full time to writing and are able to make that their career, I have so much respect for how much work is involved in being a published author. I wish I could dedicate 100% of my time to it, but it's incredibly rewarding to finally get through the entire process. It is a culmination of quite a bit of time, but I think it's definitely worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before that you started writing poetry about 4 years ago. Was being a published author something that you always wanted to do?
No, it wasn't actually. To be honest, this came out of absolutely nowhere. My background is definitely more of a math person, more of a finance person. And the reality is that, I actually love Shel Silverstein. And mm-hmm. when I was younger, I used to read his stuff constantly. Where the Sidewalk Ends, The Light in the Attic, those were books that I could just read basically nonstop. I also always, I always really, really liked Weird Al Yankovic. he's the guy that writes all the goofy sort of spoofs, taking famous songs and just rewriting them with silly words. So I've always liked poetry. I've always liked rhyming and the silliness of it. But until 4 years ago, I'd never written a poem, and I really had never focused on writing specifically. And I think the reality is that, at the time I was going through a pretty stressful personal situation. And, as I look back on it, I'm pretty confident that my need to find some sort of an outlet, something to just take my mind off of, a stressful situation, is really what became the catalyst for writing that first poem. And, after I wrote it, I showed it to my boys and I said, what do you think? And they said, this is, it's pretty good. You should keep doing it. And, I really didn't know if it was that good or not, but it was fun and it was a diversion, and it proved to be, a really wonderful outlet. And so I just kept writing and writing and writing. And, after a couple of years, I said, okay, I've written quite a bit now. Maybe I should try to start publishing these. And so it's one of the thing I love about the story is I had no idea that this was something I could do. And when I go to schools and I visit elementary school students, whenever there's a Q&A, I always try to weave this in if it makes sense in the context of their questions, because I think it's just an important lesson. There's so many kids that, and adults that feel like, I'm not really that good at anything, and there are all these other people that are really good at something, but I just don't feel like I have anything that I'm good at. And the reality is, if someone said to me 5 years ago, do you think you're good at writing poetry? I would have said, no, I don't write poetry. But the fact that I was able to find, an interest that I had no idea existed, and then create, a completely new hobby from it, and something that I found to be really entertaining, rewarding, just a fulfilling thing, I think is great. Because I tell the kids, you may not think you have a unique skill, but maybe you just haven't found it yet. Like, who's to say you don't have that skill? You just don't know where it is. You're trying to find it still. And, I've seen kids kind of light up when I've said that, because the reality is I believe that. You know, you might not know it now, but that doesn't mean you won't discover it later.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. You mentioned Shel Silverstein, who is one of my favorites, and I was thinking a lot about Shel Silverstein as I read your poems. Do you have favorite authors and genres for when you read now?
I would say that when I have time to read, I definitely have a preference for fiction over nonfiction. I love novels that have really rich character development. I've always liked sort of deep, complex, interesting characters. There's an author that I read quite a bit of in the past, and I feel like I should reread his books. His name is Richard Rousseau, and he's written, actually, I think he won the Pulitzer Prize for his novel, Empire Falls, and then he's had a number of books that have ended up turning into movies. And so something that's fictional, something that's light, I feel like there's enough intense, stressful stuff that happens in everyday life. So when I read, I like to sort of put myself in something that I think is, you know, interesting, relaxing, and as far away from reality as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Do you have a website, and where can people find you on social media?
Yep, so for my website, it's quite simple. It's just www.myname, which is BrettFleishman.com. So www.brettfleishman.com. And then I am present on social media, mostly on Instagram and Facebook. And if you type in funny bone tickling poetry, that should get you to the sites pretty quickly.
Okay. Thank you for that. Is there anything that we haven't talked about in terms of writing or poetry or your books that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about?
I think maybe the one thing that we haven't touched on is for every one of my books, I always include a learning lesson in the book. So, you know, my first goal is for the poems to be funny and make the kids laugh. And my second goal, particularly for the intermediate and advanced books, is to not only make them laugh, but also to make them think. But I like the idea of having something in the books that are that is, you know, more of a learning lesson. And so as I think about bedtime stories, so this is the second volume, it's the, you know, advanced book. There's a poem at the end of the book. It's called Famous People Day. And essentially, you know, a teacher says to her students, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. And you know, just give me your answer. You can't pass. And she says, you know, let's start off with painters. You know, who's someone famous that you know? And then this person raises their hand and they end up saying Van Gogh. And the teacher says, oh, it's a great choice. You know, your answer is really smart. But when he was alive, you know, he could barely sell his art. And so, as it turns out, Van Gogh really sold virtually nothing when he was living, which is truly amazing. And then they talk about authors, and, you know, someone answers Dr. Seuss, and she says, oh, that's, you know, did you know that his first book was turned down 27 times? And, of course, everyone's surprised by that. And, you know, finally they talk about an athlete. Someone says Michael Jordan, and of course he ended up being cut from his either varsity or JV basketball team in high school. And so, you know, the way the poem ends is the teacher basically says, you know, they're famous, you know, indeed. And then she says, those who aren't afraid to fail are those who do succeed. And, you know, so I try to have something in each book that will be appreciated by the children reading it, but also hopefully if the parents are reading it with them, something that they would be sort of proud to convey to their kids as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much for that. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your weekend to talk to me about your poetry collections. They're so much fun. And as I said, they reminded me of Shel Silverstein. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to me.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time and have a great rest of the weekend.
Thanks. You too. As always, I want to once again thank my guest, author Brett Fleischman, who took the time to come and talk to me about his poetry collections. Again, I love that he writes poetry for various age groups to try to get them interested, to get them interested in puns and idioms and wordplay. He includes the word puzzles, the zany word blenders, which I just think it's a lot of fun, and the books provide a great opportunity for children to become acquainted with poetry if they aren't already. And as he said in the interview, he works with elementary age groups, elementary classes, and teaches them about puns and idioms and rhyming and all of those wonderful things. So I think that's wonderful. For you, my wonderful listeners, who I want to, as always, thank for joining me. We do have a giveaway opportunity. I have a copy of each of the books that we talked about today. So each of those age groups, Toilet Trouble, Take a Hike, and Bedtime Story. So if you are interested in winning a copy of one of those books, all you have to do is go to our social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and comment on the post, episode 119, interview with Brett Fleischman. That's it. Simple as that. If you have a child in your life who you would like to introduce to poetry or who already loves poetry, someone maybe who loves Shel Silverstein and you want to continue to encourage that, or you like to read poetry with them, these books are great. And as I said, I have one of each age group, so go to our social media and enter to win a copy of Bedtime Story. You can enter until Sunday, November 11th, and then I'll announce the winners on Monday, November 12th. Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks again to Brett for joining me for the interview. I hope you're having a wonderful week, and hope you'll join me again on Thursday. In the meantime, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.